Maybe analingus, but, you know, a couple of drinks, who knows.
Geek Juice Radio.
No one to hear you, baby, just me.
He lives with his mom and his whale penis.
I'm the Juggernaut, bitch!
What you would imagine you would hear if you got raped while playing Tetris.
Visit our website at www.geekjuicemedia.com.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Geek Juice Radio. Thank you for listening. Right out of the gate, I'm going to share a few thoughts of mine about affordable pornography. AdamandEve.com, use the promo code JUICE, and you will get 50% off a single item, 3 free DVDs. Where can you find free DVDs? Actually, a lot of places, but just get them from here anyway. Free shipping within the U.S. Sorry, foreigners, deal with it. And a mystery gift. That is still the most intriguing thing that I have ever heard on this show.
Does that say something bad about the rest of us, or just something really good about Adam and Eve's mystery gifts?
I think it says something really good about my capacity to daydream.
You say daydream, I hear date rape. Same thing.
Well, I've got a Sublime song stuck in my head. Thank you, Josh.
Tonight we'll be talking about music videos, specifically music videos directed by feature film directors, customarily. For those of you that are younger than 20 that might be listening to this show, the M in MTV once stood for music many years ago, and on this channel they would show music videos, which is like short movies that have awesome soundtracks in some cases, and we'll be talking about a lot of those. Some of those that we'll be discussing were very big when I was in high school, so I watched them multiple times. But let's go ahead and start. My name is Charlie McMullen. With us tonight will be Kevin Daly.
That would be me.
Josh Hadley.
Yes.
And you did not sound sure at all. Like, yes? And Alex Jowski.
Hello.
Now, we need to point out right away, Alex is the only one that's being a whiner for all the music videos he had to watch. Charlie and Kevin are acting like men.
Well, I think that's because I didn't watch all of them.
Like, I just spent 2 hours in a row watching music videos, so.
Yeah, I was like a good hour 20 minutes or so. But like Mariah Carey's Heartbreaker, I'm not going to watch that, and you can't make me.
No, and that was Jowski's pick, so blame him for that.
Yeah, there's a distinct, we might need to point out when we get to some of the gay ones, which were Jowski's, okay?
Okay, yeah, and I have something to say about that gay comment when we get to there, but go on.
All right.
Whoa, cliffhanger, I like it.
One thing I do want to point out is, now, while these are all big-name directors, some of them, this is before they became big names, and in other cases, you got to remember, when like John Landis did Thriller, doing music videos was considered slumming. That you start in music videos, you don't make feature films and then go back. That was considered a step in the wrong direction. So him doing that broke it wide open for everybody else. So it's just something
because
to note
John,
that this
John
was...
Landis, he was on top of the world when Thriller came out.
Yeah, and Thriller kept him there for a few years.
Yeah.
And then he went and killed Vic Morrow and everything, you know, went to crap, but that's a different story.
Why you gotta chop the show like that?
Try to be a head above.
So we'll jump right into Josh's portion of the list first.
I started with the Stan Winston-directed Guns N' Roses, You Could Be Mine, from 1991. What did you guys think of the video? Did you see any of Stan Winston's style? He had directed before. He'd done Pumpkinhead and, you know, a few shorts and things like that.
I'm not really familiar with Winston as a director, so I really didn't have any opinions on that. I did notice Axl Rose in some really tight short shorts, though.
It was 91. That's just that was the thing.
Tighter than necessary, I'll say.
It was
fair
the
enough.
Style of the time.
Which was the style at the time?
We used to wear an onion on our belt.
That's one of the ones that I did watch, and I didn't see a whole lot of Winston in there. I mean, because I'm a big fan of Pumpkinhead. I remember when I was a kid during summer vacation. For some reason, Cinemax always seemed to play Pumpkinhead the same time, around 11:15 every night, for like a couple of weeks. So I've seen that movie a bunch of times, and I didn't really see any atmosphere. I mean, the best thing about it was referring to Axl Rose as a waste of ammo.
All right. I don't like the video.
What?
No.
Hey guys, why does this not surprise me in the least?
I can't.
Because Jowski is to music videos, but Josh Hadley is to movies?
No, because I remember back in the 90s, there was the Use Your Illusion, and there was supposed to be this trilogy of videos. And part two was November Rain, part three was Estranged, and then part one was You Could Be Mine, which had nothing to do with the music video. It's just clips from Terminator 2.
That was what one of the things that you youngins might be missing out on. The fact that no internet, they'd only released the teaser trailer at this point, the one that shows barely any footage. So to see all of those clips, that was a huge deal. And I think that partially might have been why this video was so popular. Kevin was complaining before we started recording that 90% of the video is clips from the movie. That's a selling point in 1991, Kevin. This was the first time we were seeing footage from this other than a little glimpse on Entertainment Tonight. You youngin.
I suppose that's fair, except I don't really like Terminator 2, so that didn't help me either.
But that was before you could read full-length reviews of movies while they're still in pre-production.
Back at that same time, there was two versions of videos sometimes. There was the movie tie-in one with all the clips from the movies, and then there was just a regular version of the music video. And yeah. I wanted to see the regular version of You Could Be Mine, only there isn't one.
That's put it in the 1991 time frame, Jowski. And
I would have
been excited to see this go, oh my god, that scene. Oh my god, that. And you got to remember, there are scenes in that music video that are only in the director's cut version of the movie. So even when we saw the movie, there were still scenes in that video that were new to us.
It's true, but a commercial is a commercial. And I think that's why it does not hold up now. Because it was made as a commercial and has been remembered as such.
Meh.
Next on his list, we've got...
For those of you who don't speak Hadley, that was him agreeing, kind of.
Maybe, sort of, kind of, almost, maybe.
We're moving on with Hadley saying meh.
Meh.
And now we're moving on to Selling Jesus from Catherine Bigelow.
Jowski just sent me a text right before the show. That is the stupidest song ever!
No, you have to quote it correctly, even if it means censoring yourself.
Oh, do I? Selling Jesus is a fucking stupid song.
Yeah, it's not. It's. I'm not a fan of the song.
I disagree. I mean, given the context of the time frame involved with the song, I think it's fine.
And yeah, again, the movie comes from too. It also comes from the movie Strange Days. Yet this one doesn't have any footage from Strange Days, so you can't call it a commercial, McMullen.
No, and I did not.
No, but the song starts with this line about like stinky fingers. I'm like, is this a joke? No, they're being serious. This is no.
But what was the feature that Catherine Bigelow had just done right around this time?
Strange Days.
Strange Days.
Was it Strange Days?
Yeah. And okay. I think she had just come off of Hunt for Red October.
Okay, that's the other one I was thinking of.
So
Hunt for Red October?
Yeah. So she was a really... Wow. She's also James Cameron's second ex-wife.
Yeah, I knew that, and I knew she did Point Blank, right?
But I didn't know she did
Hunt for Red October.
And there was a vampire movie in there somewhere.
Near Dark.
There you go.
Yeah, one of the best vampire movies ever. She is one of those weird directors that doesn't have a style. Because you'll notice, like, Near Dark, Hunt for Red October, Point Blank, they don't really seem like they're from the same director. When you look at Strange Days and you look at the Selling Jesus video by Skunk Asazi, you can tell that they're the same director, can't you?
Well, I think Bigelow never really developed her own style because she's always had celebrities in her movies.
Well, she's got her own style now when you put Hurt Locker and Zero Dark Thirty next to each other.
Look pretty much the same.
Yeah, I don't know if that counts as developing your own style as much as it does just trying to get another Oscar by doing the same shit.
I think she's the kind of director that floundered around for a while trying to find her own style, wins the Oscars for Hurt Locker and goes, okay, I guess this works, let's do it again.
Now, the next one we're going to go to, I'm just going to let Charlie take it. Charlie, Michael Bay directed Meatloaf's I Would Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That. Go.
Okay, I watched this video tonight and I almost hit myself. It's hilarious. And you can really tell that Michael Bay directed it because there is so much shit that doesn't mean anything, but it's big and shiny and noisy.
Charlie,
and
the
jump cut.
Less than 3 seconds into the video, there's a shot of a helicopter silhouetted against a sunset. Michael Bay trademark.
Exactly. And that means nothing. I mean, there's all these cops surrounding a castle, and apparently they found the castle by following a ghost on a motorcycle.
Who burst breaks through a wall on his motorcycle.
Yes. And driving through one, like as a ghost might just a few minutes earlier. I mean, I hate the video. It makes no sense at all, and I don't think it was ever supposed to. I think Michael Bay said, let's do all this.
It's awesome.
I like the song. I don't like the video.
The video is great because it's so over the top.
Yeah, I love the fact that Charlie and Kevin are on totally opposite sides of this.
It's like what Michael Bay is meant to do. It's bombastic, it's grandiose, it's over the top, and it's everything you want in a 7.5-minute video. It's not what you want in a 2.5-hour film. Pearl Harbor.
I agree with that. And yes, like this is pretty much a prequel to Pearl Harbor when you think about it. I agree that that is what Michael Bay is meant to do.
Next Michael Bay directed video, The Divinyls, I Touch Myself, which I also want to note, just this week, Christina Amphlett, the singer, died of breast cancer. Yeah. And
a lot
of dead singers
on this video list you sent me there, Hadley.
Well, when I sent it to you, she wasn't dead, okay? But I've been a Divinyls fan.
God, is that video sexy. But anyway.
I've been a Divinyls fan since before this, from the album prior. It's weird when you used to touch yourself to this girl and now she's gone. That really gives a weird dichotomy to it. The video itself, can you guys tell Michael Bay directed it? Even though it's not bombastic, there's no helicopters,
yeah,
and sorry,
no.
Charlie, nothing blows up. It kind of still has his style, doesn't it?
It does.
Camera angles, visuals, color saturation. Yeah, very, very Michael Bay. Actually.
It is
yeah.
very oversaturated. It looks
expensive.
Looks expensive.
Yeah, it does. Yes, I mean, just the way that you can just start adding up everything. You can't help but start adding up everything in your head as you're watching the
Well, for the video. I Would Do Anything for Love, the producer of that video, I can't remember his name, had said that 7.5-minute video cost exactly as much as the movie Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Jesus Christ.
And you got to remember that 7.5 minutes or whatever it is, that's actually longer in the uncut version. The one I have on Laserdisc has more stuff with the cops and everything before the song begins. I've got an 11-minute version of that video on Laserdisc, so there.
Yeah, it's like nobody stopped Michael Bay and reeled him in because they're like, you know how when someone is really amped up and passionate about something, you're afraid to even touch them because you don't want them to like Hulk out and bite your hand off or something? I think that's why that video went on as long as it did.
Well, I think that's something that Jim Steinman and Michael Bay
And this is actually a good pairing of videos because I Do Anything for Love. I didn't really like the song all that much until I saw it done really well at karaoke. And I Touch Myself, I liked until I started hosting karaoke for a living and I saw every just douchebag try to be funny doing that song. And it's never.
I apologize for that.
You ever get a really hot girl
yes.
sing it there, Charlie? Because that would redeem it.
It almost does. Because I have seen that, but I've just seen too many people try to be ironic with it, and it hurts.
Too many bros.
Way too many bros.
Then let's move on and go back a little bit more in time. John Landis directing Thriller. The first big music video director that went back to music video. Do you want to talk a mini movie? That's a mini movie. Now, the one thing I'll say...
Well, it's a half hour long.
17 minutes, but you're not even close, but okay.
It feels like that.
This video, and I'm not trying to insult John Landis, really feels more like Joe Dante, or is it just me?
I get kind of a Joe Dante vibe off of that. Like, it's more Gremlins than it is, like, Blues Brothers or something like that.
Well, see, I could say that it's more American Werewolf in London than Gremlins.
Yeah, which is what Landis did American Werewolf in London. That was my thought watching it.
And it makes sense. I mean, there's a werewolf in it. One funny thing about this video, though... And I'm
great,
gonna put
by the way,
this.
Great effects. The werewolf in the beginning is awesome looking.
Yes,
he'd had some practice.
And it was those effects, though, relate to what I'm about to say. Now, I grew up in a small Colorado town, and so this is all ignorance. It is not hate, but a friend of my mom's, this video was on TV, and her daughter saw it. Who's I think the same age as me, so she would be in her 30s now. I think she was 3 when she saw this video, and from that moment on, for like the whole rest of that year, she was terrified of black people.
Well, no, I could sympathize with her because I was terrified of Michael Jackson because I saw a video for Billie Jean, you know, same year as Thriller, and I'm like, it's a werewolf man.
Well, yeah, you guys also got to remember that this video was so popular in the relatively early days of MTV, that the record company got the bright idea to sell the music video on VHS, and they actually made more money selling the home video. That was the very first step in, these are not just promotional clips. These can actually be mini movies and art on their own. That, I do think, ushered in a new era of trying a little harder, not pulling a Mickey and actually saying, let's try a little harder.
Yeah, which I respect, because the video is very artistically redeeming. It's very well done, and I really like the video.
And Vincent Price, come on.
Oh, f***ing A. Vincent Price is awesome.
Next on here would be Toby Hooper's Dancing with Myself.
This was a surprise for me. I did not know Toby Hooper directed this video.
Can you kind of tell, though?
Oh,
it
yeah.
It does. It has a...
I'm not super familiar with Toby Hooper, except he did Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and the color palette's very similar in this video, certainly.
Yes.
He also did the Invaders from Mars remake in 86, Life Force, Eaten Alive.
Eaten Alive sucks.
See, if not Toby Hooper, though, I would have guessed Wes Craven, because it's got a very early Elm Street kind of vibe to it. Like
it does. I can see that. I can see where you're going with
it. The color palette, the rusted metal, and the sort of griminess of the whole thing. I really like that video.
I will just say, not a great video, though I do like the fact that Billy Idol is thrusting and grabbing a Tesla coil while his oiled pecs and his sneer knock zombies off of a building.
Kevin, I got to ask you, how often do you get to say that sentence you just said?
Never, which is kind of fun.
My biggest memory with this music video was seeing it riffed on Beavis and Butthead, where they started singing Playing With Myself.
Song is about masturbating. That, Turning Japanese, and Shebop were the big ones.
Yep.
And Touch Myself.
And Epic by Faith No More. That's
oh, yeah.
Off.
That song makes no sense to me, so I guess it could be about anything. I'll take your word for it.
That was also another good Beavis and Butthead riff when he's
Longview by Green Day is also about jerking
yeah,
off.
Yeah, that one makes more sense, though. The lyrics actually.
Well, Longview is.
Bite my lip and close my eyes. Take me away to paradise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Some say quit or I'll go blind, but it's just a myth. Yeah. That's obviously about jerking off.
It's about smoking weed and jerking off. There's two things going on. It's a multi-layered song.
Green Day from that era and before, I mean, constantly high, you just assume.
There's two things with Longview. I mean, it's smoking weed and jerking off. It's a multi-layered song that you could only expect from the genius that is Billy Joe.
What about Billy Squire's not-so-subtle The Stroke?
I love that song.
That's
but there's
a great
no
song.
Subtlety at all. He might as well just call
it No, absolutely off. No subtlety.
But let's say
stroke me.
Kevin, what you mentioned earlier about a hot chick singing a song at karaoke, when a hot chick sings The Stroke, it's even better than I Touch Myself.
Let's stay on target, Red Number 5, and
give
it one more try from director Tony Scott.
Now, I don't like this song. I've never been a George Michael fan. This video totally feels Tony Scott.
It's the sex scene. It basically is the sex scene from Top Gun. It looks exactly like this.
Yeah, it is. But there is a couple unique things about it. The fact that the first minute to a minute and a half are one uncut shot, kind of rare for a music video, huh?
I did like that.
It's a fairly sedate song. I mean, it's a restrained music video, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and
it is a boring song.
MTV in its prime is like, if you hold a shot for longer than like 7 seconds, it's Vanguard.
I don't like this song, but it really does. It really gave me a The Hunger kind of feel, like he was, because there was that soft focus and there was that haze and all the light coming in through the window, use of shadow. Very Tony Scott. Very.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lousy song, an okay music video, but I don't know if True Romance would be as good as it is if not for that video.
I will say this, given it was Tony Scott and George Michael, I was expecting the beach volleyball scene from Top Gun.
Next, we're going to
tackle. It might be the gayest scene in movie history. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it goes Deliverance, Last Tango in Paris, Top Gun.
I've actually seen gay sex videos that are less gay.
Yeah, this is true.
All right, next we're going to tackle a trilogy of videos here. Well, a trio.
Actually, there's four, which is not a trilogy.
There's four. There's Janie's Got a Gun, Vogue, Straight Up,
and
Freedom 90. Yes.
All by David Fincher. This is prior to Alien 3, so this is one of those, the guy was not famous yet.
Right.
He was pretty famous as a music video director.
Yeah, but he wasn't the David Fincher that would give us masterpieces like Fight Club. Or I'm maybe one of the few people on the planet that liked Panic Room, but I loved Panic Room.
I liked about half of Panic Room until I realized that Jodie Foster's son was not a son.
It's Kristen Stewart, too.
Yeah. Playing a tomboyish diabetic.
Jared Leto with cornrows. The defense rests, Your Honor.
You really can see Fincher playing with style, such as Straight Up by Paula Abdul. Most of the video is a long distance shot of her in almost all black, silhouetted against a huge THX 1138 style white background and with a blur to it. That's kind of unique looking, isn't it?
It was unique looking, and it was against the grain, because Paula Abdul around that time, major sex symbol.
Actually, it's kind of akin to looking at like the old childhood crayon pictures that some famous artist did before he became famous. It's like you could see where he's learning and trying out what works for him before making it big.
I like the style of the video, even if I can't stand the song.
I love the style of all of them, especially Janie's Got a Gun, which for the longest time, because you've got the story going on.
Yeah, it's more of it's more of a 5-minute movie than it is a music video.
Featuring Leslie Ann Warren, for fuck's sake.
You've got the story in with clips of Aerosmith singing, and it's so clean and nice and polished that I actually thought that story was clips from a movie, and I kept wanting to know what movie that was.
And that video looks the most like the style that Fincher would end up with especially like with the revolver clicking and stuff. That looks like a lot of stuff I've seen from Fincher.
Yeah, if you've ever seen The Game, there's a lot of Janie's Got a Gun in there.
Yes.
But I hate that song. I loved the video. I hated the song. I probably should just turn the music off.
I like the song.
I hate Aerosmith, so...
Well, we're going to disagree again, buddy, so strap the hell in.
Well, then we move on. Vogue and Freedom 90 I don't think are really unique. I don't think Fincher was able to do what he wanted to do because he had big names. I mean, someone like Madonna... You know who's calling the shots on her music video. Fincher was probably just figuring out where to put the camera. Because you know who was shot caller on that.
Yeah, very much so. Freedom 90, though, when I saw that video, I was sort of developing my own style with cartoons. And that rabbit in the corner of the screen for that one shot, that was a big influence on me.
Sabotage by Spike Jones. I'm not a big Spike Jones fan. I don't dislike the guy. Here's my thing. And you guys know I'm a big 70s cop show guy, so I like the vibe of the video. I don't like the Beastie Boys.
You're just going to tell us how they got it all wrong, that the 70s weren't like that at all, aren't you?
No, that's my favorite music video of all time. I'm actually not a huge Beastie Boys fan myself, but I love that music video. And watching it again, because it's been years since I've watched the whole thing, it's almost got like a Italian exploitation version of 70s cop shows feel to it.
I can see what you mean, Kevin. I can see what you're talking about.
But this is how I've matured over the years.
Still my favorite music video of all time.
That song came out, I was about 13. I loved the music video for I Would Do Anything for Love and hated Sabotage because it looked all old and crappy. Nowadays, it's the complete opposite. I love Sabotage. Seen and enjoyed the 1970s cop shows.
I like them both. I love the video for Sabotage. I kind of dear to me because I was the same age as Jowski when that song came out. So... my friends and I were watching TV downstairs, and we had seen this video a couple of times. My dad was a cop, and he looked a lot like Mike D in that video. So one night when it came on, I ran upstairs, said, "You got to come see this." He went downstairs. I was like, "Look at that guy, the one with in the light colored shirt. He looks like you." And he watches the video for a few minutes. He goes, "They all look like me."
Did he say it like you did, kind of resigned? They all look like me.
No, he said it with pride.
Because you said like, it kind of like with me. A before it, you know?
He definitely had a vibe of pride in his voice. Like, oh, just one? They all look like me.
Well, now the next one, Charlie, before we started recording, he was surprised at this one. 21st Century Digital Boy from Bad Religion, directed by a then unknown Gore Verbinski.
And that's a cool video, too. That's the first time I've seen that video.
It is an awesome video, and I'm still trying to figure out how they did it. I mean, did they just have like chroma key?
My wife suggested green water.
Yes.
Yeah.
Your wife is completely right. Because you can see every now and then when they rise up out of the water where it's not keying properly because it's too light, you can see green water on certain parts of their body. They painted the boys blue and then they had them in green water, which then they chroma keyed the static in to give it that like liquid static kind of feel. Because thing, guys. This was like what? 92, 93 that song came out. 93. CG, you were not using CG like that yet. This was simple, old school chroma key and technically cheating, and it looks really awesome.
It does look awesome. And I love that song so much.
Being the huge Bad Religion fan that I am, they could have been doing anything in that video, and I'd have loved the hell out of it. That's also one of my favorite songs of theirs.
Do you guys see Gore Verbinski kind of moving from that? Do you see the style of the ring? Definitely, I can.
I compared it to the scene in the third Pirates film where it's got all the Johnny Depps on the boat in the middle of nowhere. It's that kind of like trippy sort of like, I don't know how to describe it.
Secret porthole.
Well, I kind of see it as like in the ring with the playing with static and stuff coming out of the TV. I just see a parallel there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's a definite parallel there.
And the little baby watching the TV.
So, I mean, that one, it's a really cool video, and he went from that to Mouse Hunt, so who knows?
Mouse Hunt's not bad. I like that movie.
Yeah, Mouse Hunt is horrible, but Christopher Walken was very funny in it.
My wife will fight you, Charlie.
Shut your mouth!
I will join her in this fight.
And she's bigger than you. She's, like, nearly 6 feet tall. I think she could take you, Charlie.
I absolutely think she could take me. I have the lungs of a Hungarian coal miner at his retirement party.
Charlie, I can totally see you doing a commercial in 5 years. I've been smoking since I was 12. They say that I got the lungs of a 12-year-old. It was the first operation of its kind.
Give me like that Yul Brynner PSA.
Michael Jackson's Bad from Martin Scorsese.
I don't see Scorsese's style in this at all. You've also got Wesley Snipes as a gang leader, too, by the way.
The only thing Scorsese about this movie is that gangs are somehow involved.
These are the gangs of New York.
That's what I was gonna say. He's got like the 70s dirty, greasy New York, but that's about it. Like if I didn't know beforehand when I watched the video, I would have no idea.
Well, moving on, how about Russell Mulcahy with Princes of the Universe from the Highlander soundtrack?
Clips from Highlander,
and the clips that aren't are just awesome. And Connor McLeod, you've got Christopher Lambert as Connor fighting Freddie Mercury on stage. How is that not amazing?
Cool. It's cool. I'm just saying, obviously, it's going to look like his work because it is his work.
But, I mean, Connor McLeod fighting Freddie Mercury.
I just put that one on there because it was an awesome video.
It's an awesome song, and that song always pumps me up.
Yeah, it's a hell of a song. I don't think any of us are gonna disagree with that. There is one omission, because this kind of reminds me, like, band members interacting with actors from the movie that the song is from. An omission from this list was Kevin Smith directing the video for Can't Even Tell from Clerks, where Soul Asylum is...
Oh, yeah. Oh, that one, yeah.
Soul Asylum is in the quick stop doing, like, whippets and eating muffins and stuff, and then they play Dante and Randall on the roof at roller hockey.
Well, this next one, I don't see this guy's style at all, but I know you're a huge fan, and I'm a fan of his work too, Charlie. John Sayles directing Born in the USA. I don't see the style. I really don't.
That was another one, like the Gore Verbinski thing, that I didn't know John Sayles directed that one. Oh. And it, like, in terms of tone, I can sort of see it because it's like super patriotic, but it's also a little bit subversive, given it was ahead of its time, is what I'm saying.
Mine, it was blocked in my country on copyright grounds on YouTube, so I honestly did not watch this one.
And I don't know who John Sayles is, so I didn't block it much, because we all hate the song.
John Sayles, writer of The Howling and Alligator, director of Brother from Another Planet, Return of the Secaucus 7, multiple Academy Award winner.
Yeah,
I'm quite familiar with John Sayles' work. I hate Springsteen though.
Yeah,
I'll second that.
I like Springsteen fine. I just don't like that song.
I mean,
I don't hate Springsteen, but I'm not a huge fan of him either.
That song always brings to mind Murka. Okay, that's what
Murka,
comes to mind.
Yeah,
that's what I get from that song.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's Springsteen covering Neil Diamond.
Well, the way I look at it, I've seen Leonard Skinner songs that are less jingoistic.
It makes the Star Spangled Banner sound like Give Peace a Chance.
Yeah. Well, now the next one, we've got like five videos here. David Lynch, Crazy Clown Time, Wicked Game, Rockin' Back Inside My Heart, I Know, and Good Day Today.
Thank you for showing those to me. I loved them all. I'm not even joking.
Crazy Clown Time actually looks like it should have been straight out of Twin Peaks. It's got a guy in like a hockey jersey pounding his hands on tables while there's a barbecue flaming up, while a guy in a football uniform is running in place while a big-titted plump girl is running around with her boobs hanging out and little X's over her nipples. Yeah, that's David Lynch.
And I didn't even know if that was a song playing or not.
It didn't matter.
Yeah.
That video could possibly not have been more David Lynch if it tried. That was like...
Yeah, and it was only a video by accident, because if you go to David Lynch's house, like tonight, that's what's happening in the living room.
I joked when you said that's a normal night in Pueblo.
And then, like, even Wicked Game, the Chris Isaacs stuff, you can kind of see Lynch's style in that, can't you?
Yes, you can.
And then, you know, Chris Isaac would later be in Twin Peaks Fire Walk with Me as a main character.
Right. I mean, well, David Lynch's style is, I do what I want because I'm David Lynch, kind of thing.
And he can.
And he can, yeah.
Yeah, it works.
It's beautiful. Beautiful in its own weird way. I like, actually, just to talk about the song for Crazy Content, which he wrote, apparently. I like it. It's a very, like, avant-garde kind of experimental sort of stuff that I kind of got introduced to a little bit in college. So
Kevin, to me, that's the kind of stuff that even Velvet Underground would go, nah, man, that's not music.
Do you know what it reminded me of was Clowny Clown Clown by Crispin Glover?
Clowny, yes. Oh, man, he was so high when he made that. All right, next we've got Richard Stanley directing Fields of the Nephilim's Preacher Man and The Body by Public Image Limited. Richard Stanley, Kevin said he hadn't heard of him. The really great 1990 sci-fi killer robot movie Hardware was done by Richard Stanley. He also did absolutely gorgeous 1993 horror film Dust Devil. And
he directed about half of The Island of Dr. Moreau.
No, he directed 3 days. He directed 3 days on that before him fighting with Val Kilmer got him fired. And so he's kind of an indie guy. You go and watch that Preacher Man video, Charlie, by Fields of the Nephilim, and then go watch his 1990 movie Hardware. You'd swear the Preacher Man stuff is from that movie. That his style
very, very
is all
so.
The hell over that, isn't it, Charlie?
He had a plan. He knew what he was doing.
And then The Body, that one, I don't know. It kind of feels like him, but I also kind of think you don't direct John Lydon, do you? John Lydon tells you. Well, you know, he just says, figure out where to put the camera. I'm in charge, doesn't he?
I can't imagine what the shooting ratio must have been, because to get that much footage of Johnny Rotten and be able to work with it, they probably had to just shoot all day.
It's an odd, odd video.
Yeah.
Johnny Rotten is like in a zombie hospital that's running around, and he's on the gurney singing, but he's the doctor, and it's
awesome. I love the video.
Oh, no, I wasn't complaining about the video. It's just weird.
Yeah, it just could not have been easy to make.
Sounds like I should have watched it. I love Public Image Limited.
But I really recommend.
I just saw Richard Stanley. I'm like, I don't know who that is. I'm not going to have any comments about whether the style is accurate or not, so I'll just skip it.
Then last from my list, before we get to the gay stuff, is is The Misfits Scream, directed by George freaking Romero. And come on.
Definitely
I think
looks
both
like
you guys
Romero.
Will say, yeah, this feels Romero through and through, doesn't it?
That's an awesome song, too.
Actually, this actually just looks like deleted footage, maybe, from Night of the Living Dead that the Misfits happen to be in.
Yeah, it was a match made in heaven, if you ask me. That was a great collaboration.
And I loved the ending.
The weird thing about this music video is no one's ever seen it uncut. They never released it uncut. Did you guys notice, like, how they, you know, all the videos shot in black and white except for the blood, which is colored? That right. Every now and then they would switch to some color footage of the band playing for just a second. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because to be on MTV and the Canadian version Loud, it was too gory. Every time there's one of those inserts of the band, it's covering up a gore scene that they had to cut. Because you'll notice every time a zombie's about to bite somebody, quick shot of Michael Graves singing for 4 seconds or something
but
like
that. But you see,
they
wouldn't have had all those cutaways if they didn't kind of see that coming.
Well, I think that they were shot way after the fact. I think the cutaways were not shot at the same time. I think they were the, after we had to censor it, we got to figure out something to cover with.
Actually, I think the cutaways were just stock footage of the Misfits, because they're not even singing in those cutaways.
Yeah, they're just jumping around and banging
in. Yeah, that's true.
So,
yeah, they could be playing a totally different song in those cutaways.
Yeah, Josh, you're probably right. Like after taking out everything that was objectionable, we only have a minute and a half, so let's go shoot some other stuff.
You would think that they would release the uncut one, but even the version I sent you guys is the one that's on the Bruiser DVD. So
right.
I don't even know if they kept the uncut editor. Once they saw all the objections MTV was making, they just said, screw it, just put this one out and don't even bother with the work print anymore.
And this is kind of off topic, so Jowski, just give it a minute. But what did you guys think of Bruiser?
I liked Bruiser a lot. The third act falls apart a little bit because it starts to get ridiculous. But that last scene, the last scene in the mailroom, redeems it, doesn't it?
I like that movie. And I think Peter Stormare was awesome in it.
If you listen to the commentary, he barely followed the script. He was making up his own movie. He was Klaus Kinski-ing that whole film.
Yeah, oh, he Kinski'd the bejesus out of that movie. And it just worked so well. Like, it was his finest work.
Now, we're done with my list, which is the cool stuff. Jowski, do you want to bring us to the gay list?
Okay.
Jowski had some stuff that was cool. I will say that.
I refused to watch all of it, except for Buddy Holly, which I've seen 100 times, so I didn't watch.
And that was the one that I was going to defend.
All right, Jowski, you teased us earlier you're going to defend your gay list.
The fact that the way this list came about was I happened to be on a list of the most expensive music videos ever made.
And Michael Bay is not on that list?
Well, no, he was already on your list. I couldn't repeat him. I mean, he was on that list, but it's not gay. They were just costly. And then Buddy Holly.
I've seen that video 100 times because that's another one that was big when I was in high school. I used to watch MTV all the time. I've seen that video a lot. But I noticed something for the first time tonight in preparing for tonight's show. There's a shot shortly after Al introduces Weezer and they start playing. He leaves the stage. But a couple of minutes after that, they cut to Richie and Al standing next to each other in the audience, and Al's wearing a different shirt.
That's a different clip.
All of that effort, and they could not – and that one got by him. That staggers the mind.
That one's also directed by Spike Jonze.
I mostly know him as a music video director anyway. I can't recall off the top of my head feature films he's done. But
Being John Malkovich.
Where the Wild Things Are.
Where the Wild Things Are, adaptation.
He directed a bunch of segments for the Jackass movies. He fell in with the Jackass guys after a while.
Oh, poor guy.
Well, now, some of the gay list is Madonna, Express Yourself, David Fincher. Only thing I'll say about that one, very Metropolis-inspired.
That's why I enjoyed that one more than the other David Finchers, because you could get the feel that David Fincher's like, I'm going to pay homage to Metropolis.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I have a feeling the conversation went like this. Madonna, what is all with this like steam in the robots and stuff? And he's like, look, it'll give you credibility. Just stop being a stupid whore and just listen to me.
Yeah, that's like Madonna.
I have a feeling she has no idea what Metropolis was. I think she thinks that's just where Superman lived.
Yeah, that Madonna walking around singing this song interferes with David Fincher's vision of Metropolis.
And then we get to Charlie's favorite music video of all time. John Landis directed Black or White by Michael Jackson. With starring Macaulay Culkin and George Wendt. What the hell? My God.
I remember that video actually, it did not premiere on MTV. It premiered
after
on
The Simpsons.
Fox. Yes,
after
the Simpsons.
Yeah.
Because I think a few months, wasn't even a year, I think it was a few months before that, they had premiered the Do the Bartman video. After The Simpsons, and they just said, well, you know what? I guess music videos work really well after a primetime animated show. Let's do it again.
And then you guys got to remember the scene where Michael Jackson's smashing up the car. That apparently was, oh my God, Michael Jackson can get violent? We don't like that. And they edited all that stuff out of all the MTV runs of it. That only aired on the Fox version.
Only one time. And it's weird. Remember when that was the worst thing Michael Jackson did?
And he was still relatively black.
Yeah, he was nowhere near as white as he was at the end. I'll tell you that.
He was going through the metamorphosis at that time.
Oh, and then Mariah Carey's Heartbreaker by Brett Ratner. I don't like Brett Ratner to begin with, so I got nothing to say about
this. I like him even less now. That's one of the ones that I didn't watch, so I wanted to ask one of you guys. Is that the one with the Jerky Boys?
I didn't watch it either because I can't stand Brett Ratner or Mariah Carey.
So, Jess, you're probably the only one who watched this.
I didn't watch it.
Kevin, did you?
I
watched none of these. I told you. I refused to watch any of these crappy music videos Jowski put on this list. After watching 2 hours of other music videos, I'm like, these are all awful. I'm not touching any of these.
But Kevin, you got to admit, my picks were decent, though, right?
At least most of yours were fun. Like, Waterfalls? When the hell am I going to watch Waterfalls again?
Yeah.
I glance through bits of the Heartbreaker video. Samurai, Carrie dancing in a concession booth, and I'm like, oh, f*** this. Maybe one of the other guys will have watched it.
Okay. I think it was either Heartbreaker by Mariah Carey or Butterfly, but one of those videos had the Jerky Boys in it as, like, mob kind of lackey henchmen. And I don't like the Jerky Boys anymore. I did when I was young. For whatever reason, they just didn't hold up.
Young and immature.
Exactly. So if there's anything redemptive to say about that, that would be it.
John Singleton directing Michael Jackson, Remember the Time? Don't think there's a single lick of his style in this video.
None at all. Because this came between Boys in the Hood and Higher Learning, didn't it?
It'd be somewhere in that area, yeah.
The video itself feels like a sequel to Coming to America, because you've got Eddie Murphy has this African king.
Right.
And he summons...
For no apparent reason.
He summons, you know, in this palace, there's talking for just the first minute and a half, and then he's like, I want to be entertained! And Michael Jackson and his entourage come in. And
then all of a sudden, doesn't it turn into, like, the Michael Jackson version of Yellow Submarine, maybe even more ironic by the fact that he owned the Beatles catalog?
Yeah, I can sort of see that. Just not one that I like.
And then we move on to TLC Waterfalls, another Jowski gay pick.
Jowski liked songs about AIDS, apparently.
I liked The Abyss better.
Okay, I liked Waterfalls, and
of course you did.
Totally not gay. I liked the song.
Now, we're the same age, so this would have put you in about 8th or 9th grade.
Yeah.
Why would you like that song?
I just love the fact that Charlie's challenging him.
There's just no other way to ask that question. What do you like about the song? Because that was everywhere when I was that age. I mean, I couldn't avoid that song, and I just hated it.
Well, mostly I just liked Left Eye.
Left Eye was hot. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Chivalrous Dead?
Yes.
Yes.
And I liked the theme of the song, because rather than being, you know, this R&B song about gangster rap topics like most things were in 1994, it was like, hey, use a condom.
Yeah, it was counter-programming, I'll give it that.
It had a socially conscious message, which is why I liked the song.
Yes, it was literally, don't start screwing random people or you will get AIDS. That is the theme of that song.
This isn't the 70s anymore, people.
And this is from the guy that would go on to direct Friday. It's like he had his socially significant moment, and then he directed Friday.
Yeah, I gotta wash this message stank off me. Let's do this movie now.
Then moving on, Pia Zadora, Heartbeat of Love. Gotta admit, I watched this one. I've always had kind of a thing for Pia Zadora. She's got that kind of... come on, is that surprising at all? You telling me you don't? She's kind of got that chubby girl cute thing going, doesn't she?
I don't.
Really? All right, yeah. Well,
I don't even know who this chick is. Let me look it up real fast.
Do you remember Lethal Weapon 33 and a Third, the Oscar number?
She was a child actress. She was the little girl in Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, Germa. She was a child actress who became a bad B-movie actress in the late 70s, early 80s. And then she tried to delude herself into thinking that she was a pop star in the same way that Samantha Fox thought she was a pop star.
Right, she's someone that Phil Spector would have murdered in his yard.
But the thing about the Heartbeat of Love, you'd think David Dakota directed it, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, not only is Pia barely in her own video, it's all about this dude watching her on a monitor getting hot and bothered, and I'm like,
Well, he's barely watching her. He's mostly watching the shirtless dudes in the factory all covered in sweat.
Yeah, I'm like, I think the message is a tad mixed here. No,
I'm watching this video with the sound off. His like smirk as she's watching her like writhe in bed.
She's cute and
she's almost
a chubby
got that
girl
like
way.
Linda Blair kind of look to her, actually.
Yeah, she's kind of got that never lost her baby fat chipmunk cheek kind of thing going.
Yeah, I dig it.
These two videos here, actually, the one from Pia Zadora and Janet Jackson's Rhythm Nation, were both directed by Dominic Cena.
And Rhythm Nation was huge.
It was.
I don't know who the hell Dominic Cena is.
California with a K, Gone in 60 Seconds, Swordfish, Season of the Witch.
I don't know. California was a good movie. I mean, Dominic Cena is just really just a hit and miss dude. I mean, you got to question why he makes movies. I mean, because he doesn't seem very passionate about it. All his movies are so disparate from each other. I don't know. Not a fan of the guy.
And then the last one that you got on the list here, Rolling Stones, Love is Strong by David Fincher. I'm not a Rolling Stones fan. Video is pretty unique, and again, probably pretty expensive, too.
Yeah, it was on the expensive list.
I like the video. I do have a major criticism of it, though. But, I mean, I like the video because aesthetic of the models in the video captures that point in time. Like, that was hot.
That was what, 94?
It was 94.
So David Fincher had already made
live.
So David Fincher had already made Alien 3, so he hadn't really made a good movie yet, so I think he felt he had to go back to music videos.
Yeah. I mean,
he did this and then Fight Club.
This was the Voodoo Lounge tour. This was the year my mom saw him live. So I was listening to Rolling Stones in our house a lot at this time. And I liked the song and I liked the video, but my criticism, let's see, I had written this down because I had to back it up a couple times and watch it again. But right around the first minute mark, you have this gigantic chick getting out of the pond in Central Park. The ripples in the water are just very cheaply done. The ripples in the water just go past the edges of the land that you see, like they're not even there.
Charlie, you are right on the verge of being Josh Hadley nitpicky.
I'm nitpicking because it just pisses me off, because all that money was spent and they couldn't animate the water ripples in the right way. That bugged me.
Well,
they acted like the shore was not even there.
You've got these tiny little Rolling Stones singing up to all these, 50-foot hot chicks. Then there was Buddy Holly was last one on the list, but we discussed that one first.
Then let me ask as we wrap up. You guys, do you think when a movie director goes back after they're famous and does music videos, do you think that they bring their style with them, judging from this list? Or do you think that the restriction of what a music video is, that it's short form, the kind of fast editing is kind of built into the premise, or especially if you have an ego band like Madonna or Michael Jackson or the Stones, who are probably actually calling the shots, do you think the big music video director is just kind of there for camera placement?
I think, and I didn't really put this together until the show tonight, because I hadn't given it much thought, but I think directing music videos for guys that usually do features is all about nursing your wounds. I mean, I think if you have a really horrible experience on set doing a movie, which I've heard that Fight Club was not without its problems, even though it's a great movie, I heard that it was a very difficult shoot and a lot of stuff happened. I think that's all about just nursing your wounds. I think coming back, doing a video so that you don't have, I mean, as big as Madonna's ego is, that can't be anything compared to, like, because he was just coming off Alien 3 when he did Love is Strong. So that can't be anything compared to the egos he must have been dealing with on that. I mean, doing the third installment of a successful franchise, that had to have been pressure.
And I think doing it poorly.
Yeah,
we've gone over it before. We don't quite fault Fincher for this.
No, we don't. I don't blame Fincher for it. It was a flawed concept from the get-go. It wasn't a good movie. But I think doing a music video is like a vacation that you can get paid for.
It feels like when a director goes back, I don't know if they'd have a vision or they want a paycheck or what. It probably just depends individually on the video. Sometimes, and, you know, especially for guys who got their start in music videos, maybe they just get the urge to go back from time to time.
Then what about when it's the opposite direction? When they start in music videos and go to movies, do you think they bring a music video aesthetic with them? Or do you think you kind of have to relearn everything? Because you look at somebody like Hart Fisher, who's directed music videos and movies, and you hear him talk about it, they're like directing two totally different entities, that you kind of got to relearn all your skills.
It depends on the director, really, because Michael Bay, he directs his movies like music videos.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Michael Bay's music videos look just like his movies and vice versa. I mean, that's his style.
And
I hate Michael Bay so much.
Those David Lynch examples, David Lynch directs how he wants to direct.
Yes. Yep. His videos looked exactly like his movies in the sense that you watch it and go, okay, I have no clue what this means.
Well, and see, what I'm wondering is if the big ego stars, because, you know, Michael Jackson and Madonna, and all, they all tried their hand at directing at some point. It usually didn't work. But do you think that
Madonna
like,
is awful at
directing. Do you think that Madonna kind of learned, in quotes, from David Fincher and tried to emulate him? Or do you think she just kind of picked up what she knew and then let her ego write the rest of the check?
The second thing you said.
I think Madonna.
And because Guy Ritchie really wanted to keep having some sex, he probably encouraged her more than he should have.
Yeah,
because I actually like Guy Ritchie's direction.
I do too.
I think he probably should have said something at some point.
Do you think he should have been swept away?
And I think at the end, he was like encouraging her to go direct stuff on location just to get rid of her for a while.
Yeah.
Yep. Something without my name in any way. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. This has been an educational show for me. I've learned a lot, some of which I don't want to unknow, and some of which I never will be able to. So thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned for the projection booth with Mike White of Geek Juice Radio. Of Geek Juice Media fame. Projection Booth is a fantastic show. Yeah, I know. I tried, Mike.
So then, and I'm only asking this of Charlie, not to exclude Alex or Kevin, because he's the Michael Bay hater. What would you do for love but you wouldn't do that?
I don't think there's anything. I'm maybe analingus, but, you know, a couple of drinks, who knows? Shh.